said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta...
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Short. Your Donald Ventura died Sunday in a car crash in his native Dominican Republic.
Everyone has a range of emotions during a time like this, and I guess I'm just still in shock.
And are stunned by the news, whatever the case may be. It's bringing a lot of us together that maybe we haven't talked to in a while, and we're all feeling this today here in Kansas City.
Yeah, Donald Ventura, so many times, you know, the past few years, because we would play a team and they would say, gosh, what's up with your Ventura? I mean, oh, you get in trouble. And I would just kind of grin and say, you know what, he's actually a good kid. You know, he cares, you know, maybe he cares too much at times, and he's young and he needs to rein in his emotions. But, you know, I think we all just had a special affection for him. And it's not because he was a...
It defines the Kansas City sports community in mourning over the loss of Royals pitcher Yordano Ventura. Ventura was killed in a single car accident in his native Dominican Republic last night. He was not wearing a seatbelt. He was 25 years old. Ventura dies in a car crash on the same day former major leaguer Andy Marte did as well. Both incidents taking place in the Dominican.
I don't know how or when this team can come to grips with it, because I know I haven't.
With the grieving process of him leaving teams, I was reminding our fans, we'll see Gerard again. Gerard will be coming into town with the Seattle Mariners. We'll be able to watch him. We can still be his fans. But we're not going to see Yordano again.
Dozens of handwritten signs line the sidewalk. One reading, from the Royals to the Angels. R.I.P. Ace. Byron Brooks and his daughter Soledad say this is the place they spend every summer. They say it's more than a loss for baseball.
They stood up for us. They brought Kansas City back from so many different disappointments. This is a disappointment for us all. Not just Kansas City, not just for his family, but for baseball. He was on his way.
You know, he would do things on the field. And I'll just speak for myself. I mean, it was frustrating. It made me angry, because that's not who the Royals were. And then you'd go down in the clubhouse the next day, and you could just see how badly he felt about it. That, you know, he felt like he let his teammates down, and how remorseful he was.
The fire of the team.
It's us for life. You could see it. You know, the young Royals.
There was that little chip on his shoulder, that little edge, is what made him so fun to watch. And
hundreds of fans stand with candles in hand, sharing the same aching pain.
Pretty distraught, depressed that this could happen.
The loss of Royals pitcher Yordano Ventura brought many fans to tears.
It just shows everybody how fragile life is.
Fans came out to Kauffman Stadium all day, paying tribute to a man they say will forever be a Royal.
The 25-year-old was a World Series champion with the Royals back in 2015.
You know, he was afraid of nobody and nothing, and cared about his teammates and his teammates' reputation. Apparently, in the at-bat before Ventura drilled Machado, that Machado called him... I'll use similar words, a flipping feline.
No.
And so Ventura heard it. He went back to the dugout and on his own decided to show Manny Machado that he was not a flipping feline.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so, like, it kind of, you know, then I was like, okay, I understand that. You know, sometimes you have to control
by
your
the memorial. Royals players Danny Duffy and Christian Colon hugged Royals fans when they arrived. Inside the K, Ventura's picture covers the big screen. Fans say they're the family Ventura didn't know he had.
It's that time of the week again, episode number 129. Train Whistle's here. This is Brighton Sportsaholics, episode number 129. We're here live, face to face, and it's been a crazy...
Going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not physically going to the Super Bowl like I actually went to the Olympics, but I mean, I'm metaphorically, metaphysically going to Houston, going to Super Bowl 51, which, by the way, Sheezer, just about the power of numbers, Super Bowl 51 will be the New England Patriot as a franchise 51st playoff game. So they will be playing the 51st Super Bowl at the same time the Patriots will be playing their 51st playoff game, which, by the way, before Robert Kraft bought the Patriots, 10 playoff games for the franchise, 10. And now, just so you know, the Patriots, since Robert Kraft bought them...
In 93, 94?
Right. You're saying they had gone to 10 playoff games. Now, with Kraft and just Belichick, and by the way, since Kraft bought them, they've actually gone, I believe... to 12 AFC championships. I mean, it's like, because the Parcells, where they went to the Super Bowl in the 90s. But 11, and by the way, 7 for 11, and now we're trying to go, that's Belichick and Brady, have won 7 of 11 AFC championships.
And so now Brady encroaches on the opportunity to surpass, you know, your Joe Montana, you know, 4 Super Bowl.
Oh, I see. That's even the thing. It's like, he's not encroaching on anyone.
Well, it's like...
No. He's tied or ahead of everybody. It's like Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, and him are all
that's
locked.
Right. Bradshaw.
They're locked at 4. 4-4-4.
Right?
But it's like, remember, and Chuck Knoll is tied with Belichick for 4 Super Bowl wins as a head coach, because Bill Walsh only had 3 with the Niners, and Seifert had 2. The interesting thing is, I have no idea where I was about to go with that. I'm very excited, and so thoughts are going like in and out of my head like a train.
We'll get back to that first. Before we get to, I just want to bring up, you know, obviously as a Royals fan, the tragic and untimely passing, if there's ever such thing as a timely passing.
It's a terrible story.
With number 2 starter. Yordano Ventura, young guy, I think 25, almost 25.
Yeah, which also means like he won the World Series 2 years ago when he was 23. I mean, you're talking about, and also what happened with, was it Jose Fernandez for the Marlins? It's like it's been a terrible offseason young pitchers.
And a former player, Marte, is Jeffrey
also
Marte.
Also died driving in Dominican Republic.
Was it Jeffrey? I'm not sure if it was Jeffrey Marte or not. I don't think that
Marte.
Was,
it is Marte, right?
But he was like 31. On the same day, same island. And, you know, it's tragedy, you know, throughout the episode. You know, we'll be playing some clips from some of the local and national sports talk, you know, just some talk with Dayton Moore and some of the local sportscasters, some stories about Yordano. But ultimately, this was a guy that the Royals signed at the age of 16. He was 5'4", 140 pounds, signed for, I think it was $60,000 9 years ago, or 10 years ago. And he's been with the organization, always a hothead type of a player, which is why I liked him.
Right.
And earlier this past season when I was in Seattle and he was starting.
Well, he has electric stuff. I mean, he was just,
he could hit 100,
story.
Hit 101,
right.
Small frame, 6 foot, maybe, 170, right. Whatever pounds. But even in Seattle, like the Mariners fans will love, they're like, what's up with this guy? He's always starting fights and brawls. And I made the joke about how if it's your bobblehead day, then you're going to get hit by Yordano Ventura if you're having a bobblehead that day, because that's just the kind of guy he was.
Does he really do that? That's funny.
Well, it seemed like that was happening a lot because Nelson Cruz.
Well, that was because you guys were, I remember the year you guys won, that was when we started the season, you were
realize you guys were the scrappy Royals. I mean, you guys were getting like in bench clearing brawls like in the first 2 months. All
that
the
was
time.
15. So that's coming off of the 14 World
oh,
Series.
Oh, it was? That was the that was winning?
That
you
was the year,
won?
The year that we won was the year that was
I really
was
I would have thought I would have sworn in court that that was the year that you'd went and lost to the charge the Giants. And then
see, and then coming back the following year, what happened was right. is they came into camp and they're like, "We're American League champions," and every other team was still approached them like, "No, you're
right.
you're the Royals," and
right.
so we're gonna throw inside and we're gonna talk trash on the field, and they did, and then ultimately Ventura. I mean, I was at the game in Anaheim early in the season. I think it was early April of yeah. that 15 season. Fight breaks out.
Right.
A couple weeks later, they're in. Washington pitches Adam Eaton low and inside, comes back around the second time through the batting fight breaks out.
Right.
And I actually own a ball from that game, a Ventura thrown ball at Adam Eaton. I was trying to collect all of the baseballs that right. were involved with the brawls that yes. the Royals were in that year. And then it happened again with Manny,
ball balls.
with Manny Machado.
Yeah.
He got into an incident with later. And you know, it, he just didn't back down from what all these little stories are coming sure. out, and it was just like, you know, from afar, it looked like he was punk. But ultimately, when you grow up and you're undersized and people talk to you, he just wasn't one of those guys to step away from the confrontation.
Oh, it's very similar. Because, by the way, I mean, until Pedro Martinez became sort of beloved in Boston, I mean, that guy was known as a headhunter from the Montreal days. And even still, it's like, you know, he was a little wiry guy and, you know, not built like his brother Ramon. You know, it's like he's not that classic. These guys who aren't that classic, Roger Clemens, you know, 6'2", 6'4", Kershaw, you know, these guys that are the prototype, archetypical, you know.
The horse, if
right?
you will.
Right, absolutely. A guy who's the body can take 200 innings year in, year out.
Yeah, when you bring up Pedro, too, that hurt. That actually just sunk down into my heart because I'm like, man, that was the comparison. I mean, when he first came up 3 years yeah. ago, he's just barely 20, 21 years old, and they're like, you know, Pedro Martinez, Pedro type stuff. And from a franchise standpoint, like as a fan of the Royals,
it's a terrible story.
It's and this is just strictly on the win-loss record here, like yeah. tragedy aside, like that's a big you know, that could have been 15 wins this year that are now.
I hear what you're saying. It's like, look, it's a tragedy because a man lost his life.
Yes.
I mean, a person, a human being, and that's a terrible story. But now the other thing is, yeah, you guys, as a team, in a sports sense, you guys lost a 15-game winner.
We went from having a legitimate number two, number three. Now we've got Ian Kennedy as our number two with right. Duffy going one, and now we've got, I don't even know who else to figure that out. But that's not even, and look, that doesn't even matter at this point because it's just, I was looking forward to watching this kid grow up and whether he kind of stayed with the Royals and gave us that hometown discount that, you know, Duffy just gave us a couple weeks ago. That doesn't even matter because ultimately through like he was there through the rise, like he when the Royals
yeah,
came up through
becomes,
the ashes
and naturally it becomes now it will become one of those like Lenny Bias what ifs. In other words, like it's the road not taken. You guys as Royal fans, there will come days in the future that you guys are going to look back at wherever your franchise goes in the next 5-10 years and you're going to go, well, if Ventura hadn't, you know, it's like the same thing with the Marlins. If Fernandez hadn't passed away, it's like what could have happened. I mean, that is an interesting, you know, it's an interesting thing.
And you know, and that's not just and knowing Dayton.
Larry Bird would still be playing if Lenny Bias hadn't died. No,
well, you know, and it's not even necessarily what he does with the Royals, with what Dayton Moore does so magically in the up in the front office. You know, that whatever trade or whatever this and that. It hurts the Royals because. You know, they've been missing on the draft, and that's where they've been hitting is way down, like, the next
year. You know, it's people say stuff about, like, Belichick. Like, well, you know what Bill Belichick's going to do? He's going to take away your number one, you know, he's going to take away your strongest guy. Like, we all know that. It's like all Sunday, all week long, everyone said Bill Belichick's going to take away whatever the Steelers want to do, the Antonio Browns or the Bell. But, you know, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to actually be able to do it. And Belichick's teams typically do take away that guy, that number one guy, that number one threat. So, and the reason I mention this to get back to this whole thing, because it's really going to be about the salary cap, is, you know, you can see what the Patriots have done for 17 years with Belichick. It's like, we always trade down. We always stockpile draft picks. And yet, I was listening just today, Sheezer, about, and people are talking about the Cleveland Browns having the number one draft pick, and they might go after the quarterback from Clemson. And it's a whole story because the, you know, Jackson, the quarterback from Clemson, isn't going to play in the Senior Bowl because he's
right. I saw that.
And Hugh Jackson's going to coach it. Right. And then people are like, but the Cleveland Browns actually, I guess, personally asked him to play and he still refused. But it's also like, but that point I'm going, it's like, how much did you lock up in Johnny Manziel for the 22nd pick? And you didn't answer your question. And now you have Robert Griffin III there, and what you're gonna do is like, no, how about you trade your number one draft pick, trade it down, and start getting linemen, interior defensive.
That's all you need. Yeah, right. Just it's get like a look. Tackle.
By the way, guys, I'm gonna give you the secret. You can't pay first round, second round draft pick prices and stay in the league. I mean, it's like, and remember. I probably said this before on the show. New Englanders know there's like one of the signs of spring in Boston is that the radio tells us that Tom Brady's renegotiating his deal to like put another extra million.
That is a good point. He's always team first,
right? But there are these people like. By the way, I think the Cowboys rookies are the most likable incarnation of
which,
the Cowboys.
Which, by the way, like just earlier today, right. Waiting at the Meltdown open mic. Sure. Same conversation from our episode last week. You know, like yeah. I hate the Cowboys, but
you can't.
God
I don't think there's any. I got to be honest with you. You can't
dudes.
Hate what Dak Prescott did.
No, it's like
because it's, you filled in at the you filled in for Tony Romo, and you actually shut up your own idiot Romo Cowboy fans. And now they
took 11 weeks, but it happened eventually.
Right, but the crazy thing is, there's a weird braggadocious. You know, I mean, like, look, obviously, ego's involved in owning, not just. In owning a sports franchise, you know, and there's a weird thing, like, you can see that the Irsays of the world really like, well, I have the I pay Andrew Luck the most money. He's the highest paid quarterback in the league. Or, you know, Russell Wilson signed a big deal. But when he signed a big deal, it was like, hey, man, the problem the Indianapolis Colts have year when they had Peyton Manning and when they have Andrew Luck is that if you keep giving the quarterback big ticket contracts, you don't have that extra $1 million for that. Who's it? Bob Sanders, who's that safety. And it was really Bob Sanders who locked down the Colts' one Super Bowl win because you need to have that extra guy, that Rodney Harrison, you know, that guy who locks down your secondary. And what I'm trying to say here is like Russell Wilson, hey, man, he was a budget. You know what I mean? When they won the first Super Bowl, it was found money.
Yeah, it was third round, fourth round salary.
Right, you know, but now that you're paying him big money because he's Russell Wilson, quote unquote, right. It's like that took away from the Legion of Boom. Like they're not as deep.
No,
you
it's,
know what I'm saying?
I always go back to that Nintendo hockey game. I think it was just whether NHL or whatever, but you could pick the skinny guy, the medium-sized guy, or the fat guy. The fat guy right. had power. The skinny guy was fast. The medium-sized right. guy. And you just go with the medium guys. You know what I mean? Like, right. just you don't go all in on one side or the other because you're vulnerable, especially when you're trying to rebuild.
Right.
Like, it just only makes sense. You've missed. Wide receivers missed. Terrell Pryor
right.
missed.
Cleveland Browns also just signed, they signed a four-year contract extension to Jamie Collins, the former linebacker from the New England Patriots that we traded around week 6.
Oh, the guy that they were like, get out of here? And then
yeah, we just traded him. And by the way, Jamie Collins was like, the rising star of our defense. But what happened is we traded him. Now Cleveland has him. We got draft picks, which is what we do. If you happen to notice that we got Van Noy and what's his name from the Lions and the Chicago Bears, and we're going to the Super Bowl. And we're not paying. And by the way, and the Browns, you just paid Jamie Collins, and I'm not knocking Jamie Collins because he's a great player, but you just made him the fourth highest paid linebacker, defensive player. Like he's it's like Von Miller, two other guys, and him. And this is where you're saying, where are you putting your money? How is it making it work for you?
And that doesn't make, I mean, the fact that most people couldn't pick that guy out of a lineup, you know, and then especially for what you're paying him. And that's just,
well, I mean, that's defense sometimes.
No,
you know?
It is. But I'm saying, like, I see Von Miller in every other commercial.
But he
on
won
TV.
A Super Bowl.
Right. And it, well, that's a good point, too. But, you know,
he had to win a Super Bowl to become the Von Miller that
with the actually had to get the glasses.
Right, right. Now he's a celebrity and a character, and you know, like Richard Sherman. It's like there are guys that are great in the league, and then there are guys that become breakout stars. You know,
but point, you don't give the guy, you don't pay him the fourth most, and he got kind of booted off of the Patriots. I mean, they didn't.
By the way, I'm not knocking it because it may be a really sound. I'm not really trying to knock it, but I am sort of saying, like, the Cleveland Browns, it's like, and then you're the fact that any of the talking heads are talking about, hey, man, you know what your problem is? It's not quarterback. Because I'll be honest with you, like, Brian Hoyer would have, I think, stabilized two franchises that just ran him out of town both times. It was like, he really should have been a Cleveland Brown starting quarterback. They should have built everything around and built, like, look, it's like build a line on both sides, get your receivers going, and then drop in. It's like, look.
And then upgrade at quarterback.
Right, right.
You don't just go upgrade a quarterback first, let him get beat up and never achieve. It's kind of like.
Tom Brady succeeds because he's, first of all, he's backing up to Drew Bledsoe, but the whole team is built. That team that goes to the Super Bowl, it was built, and then he just had to be a game manager. And that's like, look, man, that's what you need. It's like, what did Carson Wentz do? I mean, hey, great. He came out and did great, but these guys get hurt. Jared Goff, that kid's a mess. And by the way, the Rams are a mess. It's like, look, the Rams, the Browns, the Jaguars, whoever you are, trade your first round picks unless it's a surefire guy, because I still remember being in New England. They once had sometime in the early 80s, they had the number one overall pick. And you know who they picked? Kenny Sims. And you know who Kenny Sims is?
No idea.
That's why you don't know who he
is. Todd Blackledge.
Right. And it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, hey, Johnny Manziel is out of football, although he says he's sober and somehow was able to serve a 4-game suspension, even though he was on no roster this year.
He's ready to sign GMs.
Yeah, and by the way, how about you just re-sign Johnny Manziel? Because for a while, he was your last winning starting quarterback. And I don't mean it because you don't sign Johnny Manziel, because Johnny Manziel is, he's the bad Tim Tebow. The Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel are weirdly the same person.
God, I wonder how they're statistically, if you put their careers up, they probably played, actually Tebow probably got in a few
Tebow
more games.
Tebow won a playoff game.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He did. It's like, he completed a pass, and then it went for 90 yards.
But they won a playoff game.
Dude,
And by the way, Sheezer, I mean, and to all the Chiefs fans, you know that we love you, and I'm very sorry that you guys did not beat the Steelers, but I have to say, it was nice to play the Steelers and not have to play friends.
They felt like they were kind of beat up, and you just, at no point did you really feel like the Steelers were going to win. I mean, at no point, I just felt like from the kickoff on, even an hour before kickoff, I'm like, Patriots got this by.
I have to tell you, it's, look, guys, you don't have to be a Patriot fan, but I'll tell you this. If you watch the AFC Championship, you want the team that you root for to play like the New England Patriots played their AFC game. Because the defense was situational. It was great. They had that goal line stand. Like, first, it's ruled a touchdown, but it turns out it's 6 inches short. And then they knock him 2 yards back, then they knock him 3 yards back, and then they throw this stupid, weird out pattern that even if the guy had caught it, he's not getting into the end zone because we were making our tackles.
You got some big...
So it was like, instead of being... you know, it could have been 17-14 at half. You know, it would have been, could have been 17-12, could have been 17-14, but it turned out to be 17-9. You just gave us, like, everything. Instead of going for the two-point conversion and trying to make it 14 and a three-point game, you only got 3 points out of the whole thing, so you lose 4 points off the board. And man, in some ways, it was interesting because, like, second half, look, I'm not shitting on the Steelers either, because look, the defense was pretty good, but the Patriots defense was pretty good. But you look at the game, and you know, going in from halftime, you go like, hey, you know, if they'd gotten that foot, they would have a touchdown. They'd be down by maybe 3 points. You know, I mean, obviously, Bell got hurt with a groin injury, and they were covering, you know. And
that was a nice little 28 yards out of Bell. That's like,
you know, Roethlisberger, Ben was, they weren't getting to him. You know, he had protection. He had time. And in some ways, like at the second half, you're going, I mean, I even think like the sideline reporter, which is usually kind of nonsense. It was like, they talked to Timlin. It was like, they were kind of playing their game. I mean, their biggest problem was, Clearly, clearly Pittsburgh does not know how, I'm not going to say Pittsburgh doesn't know how to defend Tom Brady and the Patriots. What I'm going to say is the Patriots and Tom Brady and Belichick really know how to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, because it's like Tom Brady is 22 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's like he's ripping up their zone in a way that's
it's like they found these five spots on the field and said, we're going to throw 80% of our balls into these little circles, because statistically you ain't going to intercept it. Like, whatever, the safety can't get there, the corner help can't get there. And now
we took Antonio Brown away from you because he went 7 catches for 77 yards, which is good. That's controlled.
It's average.
Yeah, it's controlled and nothing big. And it's like, and meanwhile, you know, you guys, we didn't have Gronkowski, and maybe you guys, and Edelman was a little quiet in the first half.
What's up with
but Chris Hogan? Here comes Chris Hogan.
Is this the lacrosse guy? I wanted to get to the lacrosse guy. Okay, before we go to break, let's break down this Chris Hogan lacrosse playing, non-college football playing. What's his deal? He came
from the Buffalo Bills. So I'm not going to, it's not like we can't take all the credit in the world. Like,
he bounced around a couple teams, right?
Well, I'm just saying, it's like, because we've had, like, you know, we've had the rugby player thing. We've had a couple, like, track play. You know, you've done the, I think every franchise does that kind of conversion thing every once in a while. They play it. But Chris Hogan, that's more of one of those things about, Belichick and the Patriots are really great at scouting the other team. It's like when we got, the reason we got Wes Welker back in 2007 is because Wes Welker was on the Miami Dolphins and he was killing us.
That's right. I forgot he was on the Dolphins.
Right. And so that's one of those things, like, you know, the Patriots look in there and they go, hey, that guy's kind of killing us. We're having trouble covering him. Why don't we get him? You know? And, hey man, 7 Super Bowls, 11. I mean, you're saying like 11 AFC championships, 7 Super Bowls, and if he wins 5, it's like now Brady has he's now gone to more Super Bowls than any other player. 7 appearances is more than anyone else.
Shattering all sorts of NFL records, potentially. All right, real quick before we go to break here, if you're in Southern California, specifically La Jolla, Pacific Beach, San Diego area, by all means, you're going to stop off at Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street. Kitty Corner, Catty Corner.
I say Kitty Corner, but Kitty feel corner, free to say Catty
Corner. From the La Jolla Comedy Store. I actually was just there last week, watched an old couple and their daughter bring in a bag of Chargers jackets, shirts.
Oh, yeah.
If you have, it can just be Chargers. It doesn't have to say San Diego, like I said last week. If it says Chargers, you take it to Don Carlos Taco Shop. You get a free burrito. Those jackets go to help clothe the needy in San Diego. And then when they hand the jackets out to homeless or those in need, they also get a burrito with the jacket. So not only do they get to stay warm, they get a little bit of food in their belly, courtesy of Don Carlos.
So, like, San Diego is going to become one of those, like, African or South American villages that gets, like, all the Super Bowl loser t-shirts.
That's what I sat there, like, dying laughing.
It's just like, so the homeless of San Diego will soon be clothed head to foot in all Chargers.
That's what its goal is. I go, so ultimately what I want to see next winter in San Diego, if you go downtown, it's just San Diego Chargers stuff everywhere on all the homeless people, and he just starts dying laughing. He's like, yep, that's what I want. But it was sad to watch 50-year Chargers fans, season ticket holders all the way up until 3 years ago, this old couple in their 80s, and they come in and they were like, we were huge Chargers fans, and they're like, just take it, you know, just take it all. Watching them give away 45 years of fandom, right?
Yeah.
And then she starts, the old lady was very nice. She goes, well, we had the Clippers there for a while. Hell, we even had the Rockets. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, the Rockets were in San Diego for, well, I think it was a year. I think they were sold for like $7 million. And she was just spitting out all this old, and we'll fact check this actually, because I'm just regurgitating. But
sure.
I just want to say, Ryan, Don Carlos, at Eat a Burrito on Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. Man, you're killing it, man. The community loves you down there. And part of going to eat at Don Carlos is just meeting Don Carlos. Like, you go in there, big smiles. If you tell him you listen to Sportsaholics, you'll get a big laugh. Oh, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And he's a big sports fan, too. And then real quick, on that note, shout out to, this is a NASCAR shout out, Jimmy Johnson, we didn't even bring it up, got his 7th championship this previous year. And the only reason I'm mentioning
7.
That, Don Carlos and I catered Jimmy Johnson's charity foundation at Torrey Pines this past year. Met the man, very humble, very generous, does a lot of good things in the San Diego community. So good job. Nice. Congratulations, Jimmy, on that. And keep up the good work. He builds houses and donates them. And
lovely.
Which is very expensive to do in Southern California.
Yeah.
And then also, guys, real quick, I will be performing at the Blue Room in Springfield, Missouri, March 17th and 18th, Friday and Saturday. And at Avenue HQ in Jefferson City, Missouri. That's a Thursday, March 16th. And then trying to get a date down for Topeka, Kansas on the Wednesday, the 15th. I'll keep you posted on that. And let me think. Oh, and if you need a shirt printed up.
All right.
That's right. You need shirts printed up. Go to UnionPressKC.com. That's UnionPressKC.com. And anything else before we go to break?
I'll tell you this. The show up go up at the World Famous Comic Store Sunday nights will return Super Bowl Sunday, February 5th. And if the Patriots win, Cheese, I will be shaving my head on stage.
The Patriots win, if I'm not already in Hollywood, I will be getting in my car and driving directly up with the camera.
So hopefully Patriots win and I will shave my head because I kind of need a haircut, you know?
Yeah, I could agree. You know? Dude, that's well over a foot of hair. Easily.
It's a lot of hair.
All right, we'll be back after this. San Diego, as that nice 80-year-old woman told me, shocked me with last week when I was in Don Carlos Taco Shop. But
it's just crazy because it's also one of those things like, you know, okay, the Celtics are in Boston, and that's sort of like there's the big Irish heritage of Boston. And, you know, the Lakers were originally from Minnesota, the 10,000 Lakes. And I just always assumed, like, Houston Rockets, hey, NASA. But it's interesting.
This is old school.
They were the San Diego Rockets because that's where San Diego is, where the Atlas Rockets for NASA. There is a NASA connection. It's just that the Rockets were actually in San Diego. And then, in 71, 72, they moved. And then the ABA, the Clippers came in or whatever. San Diego was without basketball for a season. And then, of course.
Yeah, it says the San Diego Rockets were from 67 to 71. And then apparently there was a lot of moving around because I know the Kings were in Kansas City through the late 70s to the early 80s. And then they split time through Omaha. And then I'm not sure when the Jazz left New Orleans to go to Utah. That was one that I was into my 20s before that.
Ding. Yeah, there are weird, you know, and basketball ding. Does what? Basketball Why? Does have some weird movements. Like the 76ers were the Syracuse Nationals. And weird things like that, like things you just don't. And you know, the Warriors were originally in Philadelphia. Like, Will Chamberlain played for Philadelphia, not the 76ers. He played for the Philadelphia Warriors, which is also weird that, you know, the Oakland A's started in Philadelphia. And so both the Warriors and A's started in Philadelphia and weirdly made their way over to San Francisco.
To land in Oakland. The exact same. Did you see that opening ceremony that they did for their stadium? So apparently the Warriors are building a stadium.
I did not see it, right? Yes,
in San Francisco.
Yes.
So Oakland's just getting shafted all across the
Oakland's
board.
The Raiders are going to go to the Vegas.
And they have been for a while. And, I mean, it's very telling in their Too Short and E-40. I mean, some of the best rappers in the world come out of Oakland. So, you know.
MC Hammer was a ball boy for the Oakland Athletics. Not that he's a rapper. I mean, I guess, whatever. You know what
I'm saying? So they're opening up the new Warriors Arena with all their newfound fame in San Francisco. So they've got choreographed backhoes moving their digging arms up and down in unison. It was like a robot dancing backhoes. They were spinning, and then they had a very Village People in the Navy type moment with everyone in their construction suits, hard hats. Sure. But they had about six trampolines lined up, so they were trampolining, spinning, landing with construction gear on. and it was just very confusing, and it just seemed very Barnum and Bailey esque, really. Oh, I mean, and it was
10 bells for Barnum and Bailey bringing them both to the circus.
They're I'm just like, they're really going overboard now, and really just with, like, they're shutting down the Georgia Dome. You know, it's 25 years done. We're in the
bio. Yeah, the one thing I got to be honest with you, the one thing is slightly worrying about me, it's very similar to the Patriots. The Patriots won, like, their last game in Foxborough before that shut down, and they went and won the Super Bowl. And then they opened their new stadium.
Is this Gillette? Gillette.
Then they opened Gillette the next year as Super Bowl champions. So I'd like to, I would like to keep Georgia, well, on my mind, but I'd like to
always
keep, I'd like to keep, I really want to win Super Bowl 51. And
and
it's also one of those things. I'm gonna be honest with you. Let me just say this right now. Not only will I be shaving my head,
logo.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl and Belichick and Brady get five, I'm kind of gonna. I'll be honest with you. I'm gonna kind of retire from football.
You've beaten football at that point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm gonna. More like you're
you've done it.
Right.
There's nothing else to do.
It's a lot of pressure. It's like I won't get greedy. I'm not care about six or seven or any of that stuff. It's like I want five because I'm right there. It's a lot of pressure, and then it's almost like I'm gonna step back and it'd be like like Bill Walsh steps back from head coaching and becomes like a consultant to the 49ers. Like I'll be a fan consultant.
Was there a Celtics fall off in fandom circa late 70s before Bird gets there, because they're like, wow, we haven't won it in 3 years. I mean, what's going on? You know,
it wasn't quite that. I mean, remember that the NBA is going through a real doldrums of the whole, like, that late 70s period.
The ABA era.
It's the ABA is splitting it apart. Then it's also like
cocaine,
that. You know, that's like
disco.
The right, and you know, that's like the you know, there's the Rudy Tomjanovich punch in the face.
Oh my!
You know what I'm saying?
God.
It's like, and it's a lot of stuff, and it's a very also session. So what do you call it? Demographics is. White fans are feeling that the NBA is a very black league, and it's definitely, it's like, and it, you know, that's what sets the stage for Magic and Bird to come onto the scene and rejuvenate the league and put it on the path that it is now.
Yeah, the you know, and then escorting everyone in following their Jordan by all means did his part. No, I was going to say, too, before I forgot, I went down to Westwood this past week.
You did.
With my friends in town.
Yes.
Former volleyball teammates of mine in college. And we went down and watched the UCLA versus USC men's volleyball match.
Oh, great.
At Poly Pavilion. First time being down in Westwood in a while, which was kind of nice for me, having worked there as in the fraternities, being a chef for all those years.
Hey, by the way, guys, let me say this. Poly Pavilion, a UCLA basketball game, it's if you're in L.A., And it's on the schedule. That's one of those things. Like, Poly Pavilion is kind of one of, like Wrigley Field, like Fenway Park. The Santa Anita Racetrack, by the way, is a beautiful place to go out to. It's like
some Seabiscuit
there
action.
There aren't a ton of things that are, you know, L.A. doesn't have a ton of history in that sense. It knocks a lot of things down.
Yeah, the city's only 100 and whatever years.
Right, but I'm just saying that going to see a game at Poly Pavilion, seeing a game at the Coliseum, you know, when you see the Olympic torch get lit at the Coliseum, these are cool things.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like when you go into Poly, and I was there.
Unlike when you go see the Carson Chargers play in their stupid soccer stadium for
Dome.
For two.
It
is weird.
Well, you know what? To go there.
Which is also weird because that means the owner of the Atlanta Falcons owns Home Depot, and he is sponsoring the soccer stadium that the Chargers will play in.
That'd be great if San Diego just said, hey, screw you, and San Diego sponsors the stadium that the Chargers now play in. Wouldn't that be great?
It'd be funny if that was the San Diego. It'd be funny. The stadium. That's a really funny thing to have naming rights like this stadium brought to you by the city of San Diego.
The Los Angeles Chargers playing all their home games at the San Diego Dome in Carson, California, of Anaheim, adjacent. Where was I going to go earlier? We're talking. Oh, so the Poly Pavilion.
Yes.
When I first go there 6 years ago, it's a KU-UCLA battle, hardly a battle. KU wins, bump into Eric Chinoweth, long time. Well, actually, not long time KU great. Briefly a KU great as freshman and sophomore year. Should have gone pro, didn't. Never really, Knicks drafted him, got booed, never played in the NBA, all that kind of stuff. But they've remodeled since then, so now they've upgraded with the little lights that go around, the whole thing. The seats are nice. It looked great.
Oh, really?
But they've got the centerpiece above the stadium with the scoreboard, the one that hangs front and center. But But right, like they did a perfect tee coming off from the east, the north, the south, and the west.
Yeah.
It's like almost the same. It's like four banners on one side, four on the other. But it's like 1967, yeah. 68, 69. Then you go over here, 1970, 71, 72, 73. Yeah. Then you jump 75, 76, 77. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it hits you like, what the hell happened in 74? That was like the year they didn't win.
Right.
And I have no idea. So it's like I'm trying to watch this volleyball match, which was great. UCLA ends up winning. Very competitive. I mean, these guys are jumping up their waists or above the net. It's ridiculous. But North Carolina State beat. That's who won in 1974.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's like it's UCLA through and through. And then 1974, North Carolina State sneaks in there.
Wolfpack. Now, I
didn't do enough research to determine if that was in the championship game or not, but
sure,
doesn't matter. But it got me thinking about popularity of basketball. Like, do you think the number dipped? Like, as UCLA's crushing everyone, you know, it's like, does the popular...
Well, I mean, there's a point where I don't think we necessarily understand. Like, there's a point where sports 65 years ago isn't what we think sports is now. In other words, like, if you were a sports guy in 1952, it's like, there's the Yankees, there's baseball. But in some ways, like, remember, there's no Super Bowl. The NFL is like, okay, you like the Packers, the Giants.
There's like eight teams.
Right.
NHL, eight teams.
Right. And but in some ways, it's a lot more about boxing. It's a lot more about horse racing. There are some very interesting articles out there that in some ways it's like boxing because they went pay-per-view, right? And horse racing because they didn't really sort of televise. It was like they sort of left something open for football. Like football becomes great because they grow into television. Monday Night Football is really the prime example of that.
You got the Cusell and...
So in that sense, but there's also a point where, so going back to basketball, it's like I would be sort of interested in time travel to sort of see, it's like, remember, so if you're a basketball fan and it's 1968, 1969, you've seen the Celtics win a bunch. And it's like you have Red Auerbach and the Celtics, and then you have John Wooden and UCLA. And there's a certain point where I'm like, you know, there's also a point where I don't even know if I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how good I think the league is. I mean, because, you know, it's like, look, there's a point if you watch old Bob Cousy Celtic footage, you know, the old footage where they don't even have, like, there isn't even paint on the floor. They're just playing on a parquet.
Right.
There's no key. You know, there's because they create the key because of Will Chamberlain. It's like
no three pointer, no just a circle with a line right. through.
And in that sense, remember, it's you know, you're playing in the Boston Garden or Madison Square Garden. But in some ways, basketball then was almost in some ways like the NBA then is kind of maybe like Arena League, except there's no bigger basketball thing out there that Arena League's copying. It's something that, hey, the circus comes into town and we play at Madison Square Garden or the Staples Center or the Westin Forum. You know, the circus comes into town, the Ice Capades come into town, and then, oh, we're going to have the Bruins are going to play, and then I guess the Celtics. You know, it's interesting.
Well, I know right around that time they had the it was like that UC or the USA versus Russia in the Olympics. That was 72. Whenever they kept putting the Doug Collins. Yeah, where they put the extra time back on. So it was just a real lean era for basketball in America all around.
Sure.
You know, time Absolutely. Period. And then baseball's hopping. You know, it's like you got the A's sweeping through. And then, you know, like you always mentioned, the We Are Family Pirates. Oh,
that's the late. But, I mean, you do have Reggie Jackson. It's the Reggie Jackson, like 72 to 74 is – you know, and they have, you know, Catfish and all those guys that later on all get sold off because Oakland can't, they're small market.
can't hold on to their 40 years things. Later.
Right.
And I mean, I'm sure the A's would have moved by now, but there's nowhere left to go except for Honolulu. And they just can't think of, or Anchorage. And I just don't think.
It is true. I mean, it is weirdly true.
Guam, maybe? I mean.
No, I mean, that's almost like, you know, it's not Portland. The Vegas A's.
You heard it here first. The Oakland A's are officially going to be the first team that is a Major League Baseball team in Japan. Really, it's like it's the next move for them, I think. It might be 20 years down the road.
Right.
I'm a firm believer in international professional sports moving forward. I don't see why that can't be done. that why a team from Kansas City can't be in the same world league as a team from...
Well, the one thing is, it's like, there's a weird thing that obviously has a lot, there are lots of things, but it's like, you know, the NFL is hell-bent on going to London, whereas Mexico is closer, you know what I'm saying? That's a doable flight for everybody. You're not traveling, I mean, you're traveling internationally, but you're not traveling over an ocean and time zones.
Yeah, you're just going south where it's actually warmer.
Right, and you have 22 million people that are dying to watch the Raiders or the Texans or the Patriots. I mean, these guys are, you know, basically, if you wouldn't have the problem of, say, the Vancouver Grizzlies or the Montreal Expos with a Mexican football team. I just don't think you would. Or a baseball team. I just don't think you would, but I don't think they necessarily want to go there.
Yeah, it's tough for baseball because the elevation. I mean, you get like, it's like super, sure, super mile high. You know?
Oh, so right, right. That is true.
Like the Rockies game would be like, so there's that. Football, I mean, I've read a few stories. They're starting little leagues here for the kids and stuff like that, but it's just kind of like on a whim, nothing that's like sweeping the country. It's just too expensive to play. It's like hockey, you know. You got
because it's not like
all the equipment and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know what their obsession with London. It's been 25 years. Just let it die.
I told you when I was in Rio that some of the playgrounds had hockey goals. That at the top of the hockey goal had a small hockey goal for structure. You know, and then on the top of that, it comes built a built-in basketball hoop. So it's like a perfect, like, play soccer or shoot baskets.
Okay. That's actually really smart.
You know
what I mean?
Like, it makes a lot of sense for a country like Rio that is a soccer basketball kind of country.
Given back to the
community. That's always been the problem with football is that there's the equipment, you know, the equipment problem of playing it. And same with baseball. You know, that's why it's a tougher thing to go. And that's why you have stories like in the Dominican Republic, kids make baseball gloves out of milk cartons and stuff. Like, that's
the crate milk carton. Yeah, that's
right.
The classic. Well, which we didn't, I forgot to mention at the top of the hour. So this is, you know, episode 129. 29 being the Satchel Paige number. Yes. My personal Bob Feller or Satchel Paige, my two favorite professional all-time pitchers.
Yeah, both of the Indians.
And both barnstormed together.
Oh, really?
In the offseason. And it was really the first time that you had the best of the Negro Leagues versus, they're really good American.
I love that Satchel Paige won the Rookie of the Year at whatever mysterious age he was.
Oh, like 56 or something.
I don't even know if it's technically known.
Or 48 or.
Yeah, yeah.
So Satchel Paige was from Alabama, I think Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. But so he gets the name Satchel because he worked as a boy as like a bellhop, and he was a 6'4", I think 6'4", 180 or 190 is about, you know, his frame. So tall, kind of lanky, but he would grab so many bags that he just looked like a big tree of purses, and so they called him Satchel. Yeah. Just because he was just like a big satchel bag, like type of thing. I was like, okay, that's good to know. And then really, no one really knows his true date of birth. So there's a little mystery. He did, I mean, he was pitching with the Kansas City Athletics up in
the Monarchs.
The Athletics.
He
went, you know, with the Indians. And I'm curious. I'm assuming Feller probably had something to do with that because they were so close in the offseason doing the barnstorming.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had a firsthand account kind of what he could do. But, Satchel Paige, with the Monarchs for a long time, multiple MVP, won several Negro League World Series in Kansas City, but pitched in. It was 4 or 5 decades, rumored to have been in his early 60s when he finally retired. And actually, in his mid-20s, had blown out his arm at one point and couldn't pitch anymore and just did this weird, like a snake oil thing mixed with some real extreme hot and cold treatment thing. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of got feeling back in his arm and... It's now.
Yeah, good movie is Delroy Lindo plays Satchel Paige in Soul of the Game. And I think Blair Underwood plays a young Jackie Robinson. And I forget the actor who plays Josh Gibson. But it's basically like they're telling the story. They're telling the Jackie Robinson story of how Branch Rickey is going to, but it's they're scouting, and you're looking at Josh Gibson, who's like this. I mean, he's the black Babe Ruth, but he plays catcher. You know, he
so it breaks it, so it tells the full story, not just like Jackie was the best, we got Jackie,
right.
But it was more like, well, right. Jackie grew up in California and right. isn't used to segregation because he grew up in California,
right.
So for him to come back east and to be in segregation, that's weird for him, not to remove right. someone that grew up in segregation,
sure,
and now all of a sudden every, you know, that's a little right, bit right. harder probably to comprehend. And UCLA, to tie it back there, UCLA, they have number 42 hanging from the Raptors right. in Pauley Pavilion.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, Jackie Robinson, a Bruin.
Played football and baseball.
From Pasadena, I believe is where he grew up, yeah. hometown. But he was just the guy, he was the complete package. So
right.
Could play, obviously, fast, stole some bases and all that right. stuff. But if you're just looking out on the field, he was really like the fourth, fifth, sixth.
In some ways, he was a better football player.
Best player, yeah.
And then it was also one of those things like Josh Gibson had mental problems, like spent some time in mental hospitals, and that was one of the things, like, in the due diligence of the Brooklyn Dodgers, they're looking for that guy that isn't just an athlete, they're looking for the person who has the character
that's gonna take,
that can take
just verbal whip right. some of the stuff. And if you watch Ken Burns baseball now, like
right.
in fact, even now when you watch Ken Burns baseball, so there are some versions that no longer like roll with the dialogue that's
oh they cut some of that
they
out
they cut a lot they cut some of that stuff out, and I oh. understand, but if you go back and you're watching the original one, like some of the things that were spit out at these people, you
oh,
know
yeah.
both physically or thrown at them and verbally sure. you know, it was insane. So I'm sure, you know, Josh Gibson, someone that Buck O'Neill said he heard three loud cracks you'd never forget. First one was Babe Ruth when he yeah. was 12 years old down in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Second one, he said, he's got my jock on. He's like, I hear this crack, and yeah. I go out. He's like, it's Josh Gibson. He's like standing
yeah, yeah.
in his jock strap in the dugout. Third one, Bo Jackson, Royal,
oh, really?
Royal Stadium, 1984, I think, or something like that.
Isn't that interesting? Bo Jackson in the news saying he gets scared when Cam Newton getting hit. It's like it's interesting. And then and Mark Gastineau of the New York Jets, just you know, former New York Sack Exchange, New York Jet franchise leader in sacks, has some brain. You know, he's suffering from dementia and Parkinson's, and you know, definitely going into the hey, you know, the classic concussion thing. Although he was also a boxer, he like boxed in 17 bouts. So, you know, there's also the additional punishment to his head of being a boxer and whatever happened when he was dating Bridget Nielsen. But I think it's interesting that now we have this, you know, the Bo Jacksons and people like, you know, and you're getting more and more like, I'd never let, you know, you see like a guy like Bo Jackson go, I wouldn't let my kids play football.
Well, think about it. Like, he probably sits down there and he makes his arrows, and then one day you go down there to make your arrow and you're like, you forget how to do it. You're like, I've done this every day
oh, yeah.
for the last 8 years, and now I yeah. you know, have you ever done that, like you have a code to punch in, and then one day you walk
yeah,
up to
yeah.
punch it in and it's not there, and you're like,
yeah,
where the hell did that number go that I punched in? It's
right.
in my head, and you have to like kind of retrack your steps, and then it'll show back up eventually.
Sure.
So as these old guys are going through that, and then more and more stories come out, it's easier for them to now become public with it. It's not, you know,
it's not like Mike Webster, the guy from the guy who was the center for the Steel Curtain Super Bowl Steelers, has four rings, ended up like living in his car. He's basically what the story of concussion is, sort of like the reason concussion is told is because it's a coroner in Pittsburgh that's who Will Smith plays in the movie, and that's how that whole, you know, how we get to CTE, because this guy basically discovers CTE because of Mike Webster and other football players that are now starting to have dementia and et cetera.
And, you know, and back then it was like, you know, I'm not going to go public with this. You know, this is
sure.
either I'm going to deal with this, or this is, you know, or they didn't even know maybe where it came from, or
because sure.
you still, your other teammates don't have it. So maybe it's some other thing that you catch, or they just didn't, you know, they don't know about this. But
no,
now,
right.
but I think now, I think it's only, I mean, we've got, I don't know. This generation that just retired might still be affected by it. But I think anyone that's come into the league in the last 4, 5, 6 years, I think the league's actually done a good job. They've reduced contact, you know, in practice. Think about, like, you watch a football game from the mid-90s. How many times when you watch the replay, you're like, why is there not a flag on that? Like, dude, the quarterbacks take just poundings. How many guys that are stood up that get
cheap shot? One of the classic points was that ESPN used to have a segment on one of their primetime shows, which was like jacked up. Like the whole, it was like an NFL would sell vicious hits. Like they sold DVDs and VHS tapes. That were hit tapes.
And that's just what the league was. And now, I mean, I remember.
I mean, Daryl Stingley got paralyzed getting hit, like in the 70s. I mean, you know, Jack Tatum hit the man so hard he broke the guy's spine.
So now that that's gone, and now you watch. Now you watch a game, and now I'm trained. I didn't like it a couple years ago.
Right.
But now when a guy's up and he comes in late and he hit him, you're like, that's like, where's the flag? Like, you expect it. You're like, where's the flag? And it's just
sometimes
asking,
you just see a hard hit and you wonder if you're about to see a flag.
That's true. So, and then sometimes you do see the flag and you question, you're like, what sport am I watching?
But yeah, because you have to let them, they have to touch each other.
You know, at some, but then it's like, God, you go back to like an NFL Films classic and you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like, that was illegal? Like, that was a clean.
Well, and then they had other stuff where it's like, it's going back to like Deacon Jones. It's like one of the original things that they have to outlaw is the head slap. Like, once they have helmets, then it's like defensive players are just slapping the guy in the head.
Bell ringing the whole time.
You know, one of the interesting points, it's like, because, you know, like one of the reasons Mark Gastineau was speaking to the media anyway was because he was sort of promoting that whole heads up. You know, the NFL has heads up, which is their new tackling thing. And that's supposed to be, you know, this is supposed to be the way, you know, get your Pop Warner coaches certified heads up. Because, you know, this is how you're, you know, tackling properly and you're not using your head. But I, you know, it's one of those things, like, I'm not so sure in 2025 whether or not, like, I'm hoping we move to some sort of lacrosse helmet just because I think that's the weapon. I think that's – it's like they – and they need to – you know, because you can't – basically, you can't put a seatbelt inside your skull to hold your brain. And it is – it's that – it's the second impact. It's like if you're in a car and you get in a car accident, your body – if you're not strapped in, your body – it's a secondary impact. And that's what's happening to your brain is your brain is bouncing off the walls inside your skull. And unless you – you know, that's – it's an interesting thing.
Now you see that picture of Yordano Ventura laying on the ground because he wasn't wearing his goddamn seatbelt and because he was shit-faced drunk. It was the secondary impact.
Right, and now the other thing is, even though, like, okay, the NFL has gotten really good about this, but there's another part of it, like, Steve Young or Merrill Hodge, you know, guys who left because of concussions. We've seen a lot of early retirements in the last two seasons from the NFL, not necessarily due to concussions, but definitely you had like 29-year-old guys,
21-year-old rookies,
right, that are saying like, "Hey, for my health, I'm not going to do this anymore." And it's going to be interesting. It's interesting to see where it's going. It's interesting to see where that's all going. That's why I want Tom Brady to win, and then I don't care what happens to football anymore.
Dude, I mean, are you prepared to just? I've thought about this like 50 years from now, and it started with that old lady that gave away all of their Chargers stuff. I'm like, where's the point in my life where I just maybe my grandkid runs in? He's like, did you see the Royals game? And I'm like, no, I stopped watching back in 52. You know, or like, does that day come like for every sports fan that?
Well, like, I mean, obviously, my dad and I were just talking about, hey, look.
But like, you're, like, getting championed
in
out.
Five,
like, you're
in
not...
5-7 years, it's like, when Belichick and Brady are gone, you know, it's no Celtic fan fools themselves into thinking the current Celtic team is really a contender. No one thinks that. I mean, the Celtics could put on some crazy run, but then it would be a miraculous team.
Yes.
Whereas...
which could happen, but that's few and far between most postseasons, especially in the NBA.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Tom Brady is going to play in his 7th Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Now, he's 39, which makes him one of the, I think he's like the 6th oldest player in the league. I mean, there's like, you know, Vinatieri's still playing. A couple guys are older than him. But the crazy thing is, no one is talking about, hey, if Tom Brady wins, he's going to retire. Like, John Elway won 2 and he retired. He went off. You know what I'm saying? It was like Peyton Manning won one last year, rode off into the sunset.
Yeah, they actually try to ruin Super Bowls for these guys by bringing the story up before the game, and it just makes the entire Super Bowl about that person.
Well, I'm saying this. The New England Patriots have been to the last six AFC championships, and we're going to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, but aside from that, let's just talk about next season for a second. Isn't my window just as open? It's like, is there any real impediment looking if you're looking at the Patriots franchise, you're going, they have just as good a shot to make it to seven AFC. It's like you're saying Tom Brady's still playing, and
as an opposing fan, like, you don't need numbers or names on the back of your jerseys. It just, if you're wearing the Patriots jersey, that's all that matters. You know, and by that I mean everyone's replaceable, interchangeable. It's just the system. It's not one player. It's always 11 players on offense and on defense that somehow Belichick's getting the most out of. They're getting stuff out of these guys that they didn't even know that they could produce themselves.
I'm saying it's like, hey, these are guys that also, like, they're not – he doesn't hitch his wagon to stars.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't. I mean, that Tony Romo Dallas thing that happened – does not happen in New England.
It's the opposite, where you have stars. I'm just going to use
Jamie Collins is bye-bye. Right, you just signed a four-year deal for the Browns. You're gone.
Like, why are you speaking up in the media? Bye. We don't need it. We don't need you being vocal about or just being
right, but they're vigilant in the fact of, like, hey, Gronkowski is out for the season. But guess what? They'd already – it's not that Bennett's his replacement. It's like – Belichick and the whole Patriots, they know it's a war of attrition. They know guys go down. You have to have depth. You have to have depth.
It's a good way. They've clearly just said, like, you're third string, but you practice like your first string, because there's going to be 10 plays this season where you will be first string, and we need you ready to be. Well, and they somehow can bring that level.
Even that, it's like the Cleveland Browns, they have no quarterback. Name a franchise that doesn't have a quarterback right now, you know, because they're out there, and the people that are questioning, hey, what do the 49ers have? But the Patriots, people want Jimmy Garoppolo. People like Jacoby Brissett. It's like, you know, they put together an organization where they're also they hoard, they keep their pieces. There's always been a story that they actually pay their practice squad guys like league minimum. So, you know, they pay them more than they have to pay them.
Over the 80 grand.
Right. Or, because in a way, like, hey, don't, like, in week six when the Jacksonville calls, when the Browns call, don't go. Stay. And we'll and develop in our system. And sometimes go, because these, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah, for sure. But at the other time, like, the kid, I forget his name, it escapes me. He actually went to the same high school I went to, graduated a few years after I did. Played football at KU, was a linebacker at KU, and then bounced around practice squads for years. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Patriots pick him up. He ends up playing like five or six games in the playoffs with you guys. And
isn't that crazy?
All of a sudden, you're like, wow, okay. That's that guy's entire football career, all that training and everything, was used by Bill Belichick for 8 weeks.
Right.
And he got the absolute most out of that dude. And then he was like, okay, thanks.
It's like he's the master of the NBA 10-day contract. In football terms. It's like, hey, I need this guy. I find this thing. And it's amazing. Oh, by the way, the one point I was going back to concussions for a second is as advanced as and good as the NFL is going, one of the things they're saying is, you know, there is no tracking Pop Warner and high school and a lot of college. So sometimes, like, by the time a 21 to 25-year-old guy comes in, rookie in the league, you may not have an actual good idea of how many concussions a player has already gotten. Because you get dinged.
I played 1 year sparingly, practiced every day, and I probably say, like, maybe got two. In fact, one of the worst ones I had was filming this stupid video. Like, we had to film this video of everyone tackling this dummy to give to the state of Kansas to be like, hey, look, everyone can tackle, and look, here's proof so that if someone gets hurt, we can't come back and sue or whatever.
Right. And you got hurt during that thing?
Yeah, it was the helmet. Like, I got too much of my helmet dead on. Like, I didn't hit it, like, head on, but just...
You didn't do the shoulder or whatever. You weren't heads up.
It caught my fucking neck and whipped it back. And, like, I got up for a second. And the first thing that popped into my head was, like, Dude, I almost paralyzed myself. I was probably 2 inches away from paralyzing myself in the practice drill to tackle the dummy to prove that you knew how to tackle so that you wouldn't get paralyzed. That's to show you how much experience I had. This was I think our second or third week of camp or something like that going in there. But, I mean, freak accidents happen, but it's definitely going to be going down, though. But what you were saying, though, about the Patriots, that's a great idea because it's like we'll pay you guys that extra.
Yeah.
Don't bounce around. Just stay here.
Right.
And it's almost like expanding the roster almost a little bit.
It's right because it's like, hey, that doesn't count on the salary cap.
Yeah.
So let's rock it out. It's like that's the thing. And remember, the crazy thing is, too, guys, Spygate, Deflategate, yes, those are scandals that happened with the Patriots. But
yes, those did.
Right, right. But you know what the other thing is?
Not a big deal.
7 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And by the way, after whatever, 04, they changed rules. And then they changed – it's like the Patriots, they said, oh, we don't like how you're hitting Peyton Manning's receivers. They changed the rules. Patriots still win. And then it's like 2 years ago
– all those Manning rules.
Also, the Bill Belichick drove the Baltimore Ravens Harbaugh crazy because they did that little thing where they lined up one of their receivers. They lined up a back, and he was basically ineligible. He was an ineligible receiver, so he couldn't cross the line. But and that was – you would know that if you looked at it. But, you know, when you just see – you know, you see – whatever's
name. Play forming. And you're
see Steve Ridley or whoever's out there, I think at the time. It's like, so the defensive back goes out there, but then the guy runs backwards because he's a blocker. You know, he's a lineman in this sense. And they use that, even in that sense, the Patriots in some ways are playing 10 against 11, but it was enough for an advantage. And the Baltimore Ravens squawked about it and they changed that rule. It's like, you've had to change, the NFL has had to change rules. They had to sit my quarterback down, which they made up a rule. And I'm still winning.
The guy is.
Yeah. I mean, and also it's like, hey, Peyton Manning, gone from football. And they're talking about, people are talking about Peyton Manning helping to run the Colts.
No, he doesn't. He wants
and
no
I'm saying,
part
Tom Brady's no one, it's like, Tom Brady still playing, man. Playing a Super Bowl. And who knows, he can win this one. And who knows where he goes in the next 2-3 seasons.
Well, I'll tell you where he goes 2032, and that's straight to the White House with a landslide victory as a president. Presidential nominee.
He's a Republican. I know he's a Republican, so it's bothering me. He doesn't go to the Obama White House. Here's the thing, too. It's like, think about this. He's been winning since the first year of the Bush administration. So you're saying it's like he went through 8 years of Bush, 8 years of Obama, and now we're into Trump. 3 presidential administrations he's been in Super Bowls.
That's damn, man. He's just.
And I'm not just saying, like, this isn't just, he got one right before Obama got elected, and then all 8 years of Obama, and now one on the other side. I'm like, no, he's playing after the first one after 9/11. You're saying, like, President Bush's first full season as president.
Yeah, it's like his beginning of a second season of presidency.
That's his first, like, that. It's like he's in a year and the Patriots win. That's what happens. Like, his first season as a president, the Patriots win.
So he's gone all W, season 1 and 2, season 1 and 2.
There was
of
a point
Obama.
Where I was very frustrated that, you know, it was like the Patriots couldn't win during Obama. They had their 2 losses to the Giants during Obama.
Could he possibly squeak into a second season of Trump if, God forbid, that ever happened? You think Tom Brady's got, before we get out of here, do you think Tom Brady has 4 more NFL seasons under his belt?
He says he wants to. And, you know, the guy doesn't drink alcohol. He has some sort of avocado ice cream. He's doing all this stuff. I mean, he is playing right around his peak. You know, it's not noticeable.
Yeah, I haven't seen any less zip on the ball, really, or any. And one thing I think that plays into his favor is he's not Big Ben. He's never been this big physical quarterback. So,
well, there's my question right there. I'll throw the question back at you. Who will retire first, Big Ben or Brady?
Big Ben, absolutely.
I mean, it's like.
It's tough because he does keep taking beatings and he just gets back. He's like, he can recover from anything in 5 weeks.
You were saying the other day that it was like, it's like Roethlisberger has a walking boot, a walking cast in his locker.
Just all-time, all-time boot.
Just all-time. Just he's going to be in a walking
boot. Just a big old portable cast. But yeah. Roethlisberger, because I really think if he
Could be gone in 2-3 years.
Yeah,
he really
or next season, like one shoulder injury or another knee injury. I think that's it. I mean, at that point, he's like, yeah, I got two. I'm going into the Hall of Fame. And the only reason I think he might.
And then it's also one of those things. It's like, if you're Roethlisberger, and I say this with respect, that's one of those things like, hey, man, it's like being. It's like you're playing against Jordan. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, Jordan had to leave the league. So the Houston Rockets could win a piece, and then and then San Antonio Spurs. It was like you know, it's like, what is Ben Roethlisberger's life like in a world where there are no Patriots, where there is no Tom Brady, where there is no Belichick in New England?
He probably has four rings. You know, he probably gets two more. Maybe, who knows, maybe more. Right. I mean, Steelers are a dominant franchise.
Although, interesting to note, the years they went and won, those were years that they didn't have to play the Patriots in the playoffs because we lost in early rounds to, I want to say, the Broncos one year, and it could have been the Jets another.
You got to get bounces like that, you know, to go your
way. No, it's the third time. It's the third time we've beaten the Steelers to go to the – it's like there's a – you know, people are like, aren't you worried? I'm like, there's a Patriot tradition. We beat the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl. We did it. That's how we went to our first one.
It's not a trip to the Super Bowl unless you punch all the right cards on the way to get there.
Right, yeah, right.
And what a great trump card for any Steelers argument. Not that many Steelers fans are trying to get into arguments with Patriots fans now. I mean, I'm sure it'd be a nice little, like, we've got the numbers are close or whatever. But the fact that they're two were only one in years they didn't have to face the Patriots. That's a good – I mean, that's a nice little –
See, that's one of those things where it's like the Tom Brady greatest of all time question. It's like, look, guys, it's kind of getting embarrassing for the candidates you're putting against him. It's like Elway, 5 Super Bowl appearances. Tom Brady's got 7 now. 7. That's 2 more appearances. And Elway only won 2. And he couldn't win them without a running game, you know? And
which, by the way, all out of nowhere, everyone's like, why isn't Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame? I'm like, why are we talking about this now? I mean, shouldn't.
Because Terrell Davis, because everyone who knows football knows that the Denver Broncos, by the way, the Denver Broncos offensive line of that era, the Terrell Davis.
Every other year was a different 1,500-yard runner.
That was what happened. They would just, they could.
Every
could,
other year.
Because their line was so great that, and by the way, you know, that offensive line wouldn't do interviews. They would not talk to the press. They had a reputation of maybe doing some sketchy things, being sort of a dirty line. They were a dirty line, if you will.
Stepped on ankles and that sort
and, of. Right. But that was definitely like, they definitely was like, because wasn't that they sent Terrell Davis to the Redskins, right? That was they sent him away. And then they had another 1,000-yard, 1,200-yard rusher.
He got hurt.
He had another one. But I'm just saying they just kept doing it.
No, there were 4 straight years of 3 different guys that had 1,500 yards or something.
Those are weird things. It's like, I still don't understand. There's something in the water of Minnesota that allows the Sam Bradfords, the Randall Cunninghams, the rebirth of quarterbacks in Viking land is weird. Really, really strange. Because it's, and then Favre had a good year there.
Was it Chandler? Didn't he get a rebirth up there?
It was Jeff George. Jeff George had a run up there, and I want to say
the old Falcons quarterback. Didn't he like to rejuvenate his?
That was George. George was a Falcon.
Not Chandler.
Was it Dilfer? Did somebody else went up there? Oh, Sean Salisbury. There was a whole bunch. It was year after year that they kept the Falcons just kind of kept putting people in at quarterback, and it weirdly would work out.
I'm looking this up now.
Well, there you go. And Sheezer walks that out.
Anything
else? I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, going back to Brady, it's like 7 Super Bowls, possibly 5 rings. You know, I mean, it's like you have to put the Manning brothers together to get competitive. You know, it's like, it's a great time to be a Patriot fan. It's a great time. It's one of the greatest things. It's been, it's basically the whole 21st century. It is a wonderful time to be a Patriot fan.
I was thinking of Gus Frerotte. I'm sorry. This is a pretty impressive. I got the list of here. Check out this list of Vikings quarterbacks here. Cunningham, Brad Johnson, Dante.
That was it, Brad Johnson.
Dante Culpepper and Brad.
Dante Culpepper.
Then Tavares Jackson gets into the mix in 06, 07.
Right.
Enter Kelly Holcomb, and then Gus Frerotte in 08 with Tavares Jackson. Brett Favre, let's not forget that 09 Favre year, sure. 2010 with Favre.
Right.
Christian Ponder in 2011. Donovan McNabb as a backup. Wow. And then, of course, Matt Cassel in 13. And Christian Ponder, then Josh Freeman after he'd already washed up in Tampa Bay.
By the way, I got to tell you, I've been reading between the lines. If you're a Viking fan out there, you know, it's like, it's very interesting because people are trying to talk about Bridgewater and is he going to come back? And it's interesting to listen to how the Vikings brass seemed. They're very encouraging, but I think that Bridgewater injury is very, very serious. And I don't think they know for sure that he definitely is coming back.
He always kind of seemed like a fragile guy. Like he's not a big frame guy, but
that's one of those things, you know, it's football. Chad Pennington hurt his shoulder. They rushed him back. He hurts his shoulder again. I think the same thing happens to be true when they threw Romo back in, I want to say last season, and he got hurt again. You know, he got another bone or whatever.
Yeah, you're like, just let it relax for. It's like, I never understood that, too, because if you just let him sit, let's just, you know, say scrap the season, and God forbid you give him 6 months off and sit, you know, it's like, why re-agitate it and then start from scratch
or
reintroduce a whole other thing? But, all right, think that about, you got anything else you want to throw in this week?
Boy,
it's about that time. I think
I am really. I got to tell you, I blew my wad with the Super Bowl. I'm just trying to AFC Championship.
You blew my mind with just the thought of like retiring from sports, but not because like, oh man, my team hasn't won. You know, I'm done. But like where do you go? Like how many Super Bowl champion T-shirts do you need? You know,
there's also this. Like, you know, let's say the Falcons win. Let's just say the Falcons beat the Patriots. Hey, Falcon fans, I guess congratulations. B, how much smack are you really going to talk to Brady and Belichick and the Patriots? Because, you know, what do we need? It's like, guys, the Falcons, you guys are having a great season. And in that sense, as a franchise, the Falcons need to win to prove that they are a great team. The Patriots don't necessarily need this game to prove that they're they got it. Like, we have established that these guys are.
When they lose Super Bowls, it almost proves that they just had a bad game. You know what I mean? Like, when they lose a Super Bowl, it's almost like, wow, what happened? You know, it's shocking.
Right. It's like it's completely different from when we lost to Brett Favre and the Packers. You know, completely different era. And you didn't go back the next year. Whereas if we lose to the Falcons, there's also that point of like, we're coming right back next. Like, it's like one of those things like, the Giants fans, you know, started chirping. You don't want to face us? Like, no, Giants fans, I do want to face you in the Super Bowl. And I will keep, and Brady and Belichick will keep going back to the Super Bowl, Giants, until you meet us there.
Yeah.
And we will do it again, and we will finally beat you. I will keep going until we win. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Isn't there a very good chance that we go to 7 AFC championships next year? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I would say that's a... Well,
and I'm going to tell you that we could be talking about 40-year-old Tom Brady going to a 8th Super Bowl next year.
I think there's a 44-year-old Tom Brady going to Super Bowls here down
there. I'm saying it's like because Tom Brady isn't like he's not Peyton Manning 39. Like, clearly Peyton Manning.
He's not a robotic 39. He's still got a nice smooth arm. He only needs to throw the ball 25 yards anyway.
He hasn't gone through like those, you know, the Dan Marino surgeries, the secret neck surgeries of Peyton Manning, the Randall Cunningham, I've taken a Achilles tendon out of a cadaver, you know what I'm saying? They're really good. They're really, really good. And Josh McDaniels isn't leaving. Where, by the way, Atlanta Falcons, your offensive coordinator is probably going to go Kyle Shanahan probably going to go to the 49ers.
That's right. That's
which is
right.
One of those things where...
It's a little added little thing to think about.
But, you know,
about.
That's one of those things where, you know, so next year, Falcons, clearly, your window, guys, Falcon fans, your window for making a run is wide open. But next year you're going to have to deal with a wrinkle that, say, the Patriots, they ain't changing their coaching staff.
Yeah, no.
So all of a sudden, Matt Ryan, they get new terminology. We got to get used to a new guy. That's when sports media gets, you know, it's like, look at the stuff they made about Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin for the Alabama. You know, and that's where, by the way, NFL is brilliant because they don't let Kyle Shanahan isn't the already named head coach of the football. We all know he's going to be the Niners coach, but we haven't named him that yet. So he's not like being distracted by doing Niner stuff while he's simultaneously, you know, trying to.
They just let the whole thing play out and then they're like, we'll get to this in March and then you can have a little press conference or whatever. But
right. Right.
Yeah, it's better that way.
And there was even a point, it's like, guys, you know, Tom Brady has only had one coach. He's been on one team with one coach, which, by the way, it's like Manning is two franchises. I think he's got like four head coaches, right? Because he went through Dungeon. It's like he went through several guys. And then they have all the, it's like, I was thinking about today, it's like offensive coordinators of the Patriots. They had Charlie Weiss. They had Josh McDaniel, Bill O'Brien. Josh McDaniel came back, and Josh McDaniel saying, like, that's three. There may be a guy I'm missing, but you're saying in 15 years, it's not just Brady and Belichick. You're only talking about three offensive coordinators during that whole time. It's like they are set.
Now, what was Charlie Weiss? What, did he go from Patriots to Notre Dame?
Yes.
To KU? To Kansas City Chiefs?
Or yeah, I don't know where he went. Yeah, it's like because he
he got stuck in Kansas for a while, and then yeah.
They loved him for a brief minute in Notre Dame.
Yeah,
but Notre Dame's all over the place now. Yeah, it's like tough. it's hard to keep up with that stuff.
Yeah, they they're getting catfish, you know, as a university by football fans. You know, they're just. They never quite what they see.
They literally did with Manti Te'o. Yeah,
they are what they appear to be, it seems like.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, all right. Episode 129.
I love it. We're going to the Super Bowl, guys. Super Bowl L.I.
That's awesome. And again, if you're in Southern California, La Jolla, go to Don Carlos at Eat a Burrito. If you need a shirt, go to UnionPressKC.com. If you're in Springfield, Missouri, Southern Missouri, March 17th, 18th, I will be at the Blue Room in Springfield, and March 16th, the Thursday, at Avenue HQ in Jefferson City, Missouri. So please get some tickets if you have friends or family or you live there. Please come out and have some laughs. And with that being said, stay obsessed.
Stay obsessed. We're moving and disaster. I can't stop it moving far faster. I'm asking, can you own the wheel for a second now, dear? I just wanna make things clear. One cup of coffee and I'm on my way home. No breaks in the danger zone. And you know you don't mind. You know you don't mind. No. Stop him.